The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church, Chapter 2, The Work of the Spirit of God. Prophecy of Joel. This promise which the Father had made, and to which our Savior here refers, must be the promise recorded in the book of Joel. For when, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, Peter recognized it as the beginning of what was predicted by Joel. We read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Acts 2, verses 1-4. The mocking ones among the multitude who came together on seeing and hearing of this wonderful manifestation said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." The force of Peter's plea is more fully realized when we consider that, in all their feasts, they were forbidden to drink anything but water until the fourth hour. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Acts 2, verses 13-20, Joel 2, verses 28-32. In Joel's prediction of what should result from the outpouring of the Spirit, nothing was said about tongues. This is, nevertheless, one of the operations of the Spirit of God, as well as those directly specified in Joel's prophecy, and all were to be seen in the work of the Spirit. The time covered by this prophecy of Joel reaches down to the close of probationary time, even to the great and terrible day of the Lord. The last days must include the very last day of the last days, which would take in the last day of probationary time. Hence, this prediction of Joel relates to the work of the Spirit of God, the Comforter, as it should please the Lord forever, even through the entire gospel dispensation. Promise of the Spirit. That Peter understood this promise to cover the Lord's working to the end of time is set forth in these words, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2, verses 38-39. Then as long as the Lord calls people to his service, so long is the promise of the Holy Spirit extended to them. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit must refer to its manner of working. The Spirit may and does come to the sinner in his sins as a reprover. But after he yields to the Lord, and it leads the mind to the blessed assurance of God's promises, it is an approver, Ephesians 1, verse 13. Then it is that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, Romans 8, verse 26. Men in their fallen state are infirm, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, Ephesians 4, verse 18. Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, Colossians 1, verse 21. There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. After yielding to God and becoming partakers of the divine nature, we are recognized as the sons of God, being led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8, verse 14. That Spirit dwelling in us quickens, gives life, even the life of God, to our mortal bodies, Romans 8, verse 11. It then beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and seals us as His, Romans 8, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Then the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 4. The Temple of the Spirit. The Church of Christ on earth is really a place prepared for the indwelling of the Spirit. The Apostle says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. To the individual members of the church he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Again, "Ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And once more, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. Standing thus, we are strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3, verse 16. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, Colossians 1, verse 11. Thus we may labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily, Colossians 1, verse 29. Manifestation of the Spirit. In Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, he thus speaks of the work of the Spirit, saying, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. Those manifestations are all by one and the selfsame Spirit. How unlike the communications of spiritualism, which are from a variety of spirits, many of them being lying spirits. Paul proceeds in his discourse by comparing the church with the human body, representing the gifts of the Spirit as members of the body, the eyes, ears, hands, etc., saying, "Now hath God set the members every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18-31. We here read of the Lord's setting these gifts in the church. Do we read elsewhere of his setting them out of the church?